Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the third book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 11. And we are going to read verses 5 through 8. Luke chapter 11. And again, I'll be reading out of the NIV translation Bible here. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Good. And here's what God's Word says. Then he said to them, and this is Jesus talking, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Let's go to God in prayer here this morning. Father God, as this scripture is revealed to us here this morning, Lord, Father, may your truth be known to all of us. Father, as your representative, I just hide behind the cross and ask that every word that proceeds from my mouth here this morning, Father, be of you, of what the Holy Spirit wants me to say. Father, we all need to grow in the Spirit. We all need to mature. And Father, your word is the one thing that does that. So Father, open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to what the truth is for us, what we all need to learn here this morning. You get the grace, you get the glory, and it all belongs to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today we're going to review and conclude. Oh, there's a word I don't say very often. Conclude. That'd be like saying we're going to conclude the Gospel of John in Sunday school class. Oh, that word will just never be used. That isn't going to happen. We're going to conclude our series on Christianity Basics, which we started back on July the 27th. So we've been in here for quite a while. We get these 5 basics from the book of Acts, chapter 2, 42 through 47. We had lengthy discussions and messages on all 5 of them. Fellowship, communion, giving, teaching, and learning God's Word and prayer. The first key point that we brought out, if we go back to the Acts chapter 2, verse 42, is this. They devoted themselves to these things. They being the new believers and devoted themselves. And when I think of the word devoted, it's not just so much they did when they had time to do it. It was a lifestyle. It was something that they did on a constant basis. They had this new freedom. They had this new life in Jesus Christ, and they devoted themselves to these 5 things. The second key point in those 5 verses, actually 6 verses there, 42 through 47, is in verse 47 where it says this, the Lord added daily to their numbers those who were being saved. And I really would like to think that as we do the basics, all of us here at Beach Grove, as we continue to give, as we continue to fellowship, as we continue to learn God's Word, as we continue to partake in communion, and as we continue to pray, that we see other people around us, family members, friends, co-workers, whoever it may be, being saved because of what we are doing and the influence that we can be in other people's lives, that we are the Bible that other people are seeing, and then God will draw those people to Himself. Let's just cover real briefly the first 4 points, and then we're going to end with prayer, and we'll actually almost get out of here early today. You believe that? Okay. Neither do I. But it certainly made Roger wake up. And these 5 points are actually listed in your bulletin, and there's no fill in the blank, at least not yet. The first thing we do was fellowship. And we ask the question, why do we need fellowship? We need fellowship so we can encourage one another. Encouragement. And I never forget that Sunday last year, it was during the summer, where we kind of had a fellowship Sunday. I don't know if you remember that or not, where people got up and they said encouraging things about each other, about the church, about what God's doing in their lives. And I do remember this, that was a Sunday that I walked away from here very, very much encouraged, because I got to find out what God is doing in your life and for you. And that's what we need to continue to do as we have fellowship. Remember, we had the hand thing and the arm thing going on here. We have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with other believers. And we cannot have this unless we have this. Unless we have the fellowship with God, we cannot have fellowship with other believers. The second thing we talked about was the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. We are told to break bread, and we answered that this morning, so we can remember the sacrifice. And I for one, am so glad that we do this here at Beech Grove every Sunday, because that gives us an opportunity over and over and over again. It keeps it right in the forefront of our minds that we need to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and certainly not take Him for granted. The third thing we talked about was giving. We are told to give of our time, our talent, and our treasure. And we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 to sow generously so we can reap generously. And we talked about that. We said that in order to get, we have to give. And in order to do what God wants us to do the works that we have been formed to do, that we should give of ourselves. Not only our money that we have right here before us, but certainly our time. I heard a couple people say this morning, Ruth Shirley talking about the time that Anne-Marie helped with Ruth Shirley to do what she needed to do. The time that Dan took taking care of the house while Margie was feeling bad. We do these things. We give of our time to show our love of Jesus Christ for other people. Our talents. Good example, Phil's up here playing the piano every Sunday, either him or his mom, Cindy, and they give their talents for God's work. And, of course, our treasure, our money, our finances, we give them. And we explained the point about tithing, that tithing is not a New Testament principle, that we should give according to our means. God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want that's put under pressure. You got to give this or you got to give that. And another thing tithing doesn't do very well is this. It forces people who could give more to give less. Okay? The fourth thing we talked about is this. Teaching and learning God's Word. There are great promises when we learn more about God's Word. It says this in Proverbs. We will be wise and we will be rewarded and we will be turned from the snares of death. Again, every Sunday in the bulletin I have over here, Old Testament, New Testament scripture readings, and I don't know if you're doing that or not. You might be doing one and not the other, and that's okay. I certainly hope that at some time during the day that each and every one of us in here spends at least a little bit of time to open up our Bibles and read what God's Word says for us, because there's so many great promises in learning more about God's Word, and we need to continue to do that. That was one of the things that I certainly learned as a new Christian, was the fact that reading the Bible was my way of certainly get closer to God and getting more in the knowledge of what God wants out of my life. And if it works for me, I know and guarantee it'll work for you. The last thing we talked about, and we're talking about that, this is prayer. We are told to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Oh my goodness. And I know that there's going to be times during our days where we're busy doing our work and we have to focus on those things. But again, I'll get back and ask the question, what are we doing when we're doing nothing? When you're doing nothing, what are you doing? Hey, maybe we could pray. We could pray without ceasing. And praying without ceasing and praying boldly is where we're going to end this whole series today, and we're going to talk about that. So let's finish up with this thing about prayer. There's still a ton of stuff I could have said about prayer, but I certainly want to go into our next series, which talks about the false teachers and the false doctrines and the false religions. So in our scripture lesson today, we have Jesus telling us this story, this parable about two neighbors. And let me just give you a few facts about what he says here in the story, and then we'll go and fill in our blanks. The neighbors are friends. It says this in verse 5. Suppose one of you has a friend. Now, by the time we get to the end of the story, they might not be friends, but certainly at the beginning of the story, they are friends. Suppose one of you has a friend. So we know that they are friends. And remember, this parable comes on the heels of Jesus telling them how to pray. It's very similar to Matthew chapter 6, which is the Lord's Prayer, Father, hallowed be your name. So he just gets done telling them that, and then he goes into this parable. So these neighbors are friends, and the one neighbor has a friend that comes in from a journey, and he wants to feed that person something. Now, back in Jewish history, in Jewish times, it was very, not only common, but it was almost imperative that you be the best host that you can be. If there's one thing you didn't want to do was be a poor host. So if we were in Jewish times and I went over to Phil's house, he would make me feel very welcome at home. He would probably put a meal out before me. And if it was good, I'd probably go back to his house the next night again. But that's just something the Jewish people did. They were very, very good host. So here's this guy who has a friend who comes from this journey, and he comes at midnight of all times, and he wants to set something before him because he wants to be a good host. He doesn't have anything. So he has to make a choice. I got to get this guy something to eat. So his choice is this. Should I be a lousy host or should I be a lousy neighbor? He's going to be lousy at whatever he's going to do, at one or the other. And he decides that he's going to be a lousy neighbor. He's going to go next door and wake this guy up. It's midnight. The guy next door doesn't want to be woken up. Let me ask you this. What would you do if someone comes knocking at your door at midnight? Somebody said something, and I did not hear that back there. You just open the door, see who it was. Get a flashlight and see who it is. Or get a shotgun. Boy, now there's the Nelson County way now, isn't it? Or you just tell the person, go away. Go away. Go away. Don't need you. But the thing about getting a visit at midnight is this. It's an inconvenience regardless of how you're going to respond. With a flashlight, with going up to see who it is, with a shotgun, or even telling the person to go away. You have been woken up from your sleep, and I don't know about you, but if there's one thing I don't like is when somebody wakes me up in the middle of the night. Like, okay, you don't like when I wake you up either, do you? Okay. But here's the deal. The guy has to get some bread from somewhere because he doesn't want to be a poor host. But the neighbor doesn't want to be bothered. However, the conclusion of the story is one that kind of comes in from left field. It's almost one that we wouldn't expect Jesus to be saying. And he says this, and actually the conclusion is in verse 8. It says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because he is his friend, he will get up and give him as much as he needs because of the man's boldness. Because of his boldness. The neighbor is saying this. I know that that guy's my friend, but I'm not going to give him bread because he's my friend. But because he has the boldness to come out here at this time of night and ask me for this, I'm going to give him as much as he needs. It's almost like he admires the man's boldness. They could always discuss their friendship relation a little bit later on, but he admires his boldness. So our first fill-in-the-blank in our bulletin would say this. The neighbor was bold in his request. And what Jesus is trying to say is this. We should also be bold in our prayer life. Now there's a difference between being bold in our prayer life and being demanding or even cocky in our prayer life. And we certainly don't want to cross those guidelines or that boundary of where we become arrogant or something like that, or we insist on and actually telling God, you need to do this. This man was just bold. He came through it at a time where the neighbor didn't expect it. And he says this, that he will give up and not only give him the bread that he wants, he'll give him as much as he needs. Jesus is saying this, we need to pray with boldness. We need to pray with boldness. So the question is, do we pray with boldness without crossing that boundary or that barrier of being arrogant or demanding or even cocky? And again, we don't want to do that. And that's going to be a guideline that you're going to have to kind of frame up yourself where that line is. But Jesus definitely tells us this. We need to be bold in our prayer life. The second story I want to bring to your attention is in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, just a few chapters to the right. So we know that we have to be bold. We should be bold in our prayer life. Chapter 18, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. We're going to talk about this one and compare the two. Chapter 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is a similar story to the other story. The first story we talked about, the neighbors, was a story of being bold in our prayer life. This story is a story about a widow who wants justice against her adversary. That's what it says there in verse 2 or 3. The judge, and this is where I always got misled on this part of Scripture. The judge does not represent God. I always thought the judge represented God. The judge does not represent God. Actually, he represents the polar opposite of God. And what Jesus is trying to bring out here is the contrast between the two people. Over here you have this judge. He does not fear God, and he doesn't care for man. Probably the only person this man cares for is himself, okay? So he doesn't have probably a whole lot of friends. He's out for himself. Over on the other end of the spectrum, you have a widow. This person has two strikes against her in that culture, and that's why Jesus used a widow. A, she was a woman. A woman didn't have a whole lot of social status back in those days. Second thing was, she was a widow. Being a widow, she did not have a man to support her or to try to support her or protect her in any way. I would have thought that Jesus would have even taken it a third step and said that she was a leper, but he didn't do that. But you have polar opposites here. You have this arrogant man who doesn't care about God, and he doesn't fear God, doesn't care about people. On the other hand, you got this poor widow who just wants justice. It's almost like the David versus Goliath story. And that's why Jesus wants to point it out this way. He wants to point it out that sometimes the Davids of the world can overcome the Goliaths of the world. And he says this in verse 6. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. He's saying that what the unjust judge said was a good thing. And our fill in the blank would be this. The widow was persistent with the judge. She was persistent. She kept on coming back to him. She kept on coming back to him. She kept on coming back to him. The second part of that fill in the blank is actually a reflection of verse 1. We should always pray and not give up. That's how Jesus introduces this parable at the very beginning of verse 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And he presented it in such a way where he showed two people who were quite the opposite of one another. That if this person, who was virtually a nobody in society, could get something from this person who wasn't about to give anybody anything, then what is God going to give us? If this man who doesn't love people and not fear God gives justice to this woman, what's a loving God going to give you and I? What's he going to give you and I? That's the contrast of what he's trying to bring out here. What's God going to give? And will not God, verse 7, bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? If we cry out to him day and night for something, it seems like it says this, that the widow was persistent. Jesus is telling us this. Be persistent in your prayer life. Keep on going to him. Keep on going to him. Keep on going to him. I've heard and talked with some people, and I've even done it myself. I've prayed one prayer, Lord, this is what I need, this is what I want, and I kind of shut it off. Well, granted, Jesus knows what we want before we even ask him, correct? That's what the Bible says. And he knows that we need this. However, Jesus is saying this, keep on coming back. Keep on coming back. Keep on coming back. Is this what you need? Is this what you need to have in your life? Do you need this? And I'll use this situation, and I'll apologize ahead of time. Pretty much every Sunday, we pray for Jeff and Della Armentrout in here. We're going to keep on praying, and 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 we're going to keep on praying. And then when we get done praying, we're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on praying. We're not going to give up. God's Word says this, don't give up whatever that thing may be. Sure, he knows what we want. But we need to be obedient to God's word. We don't give up just for the fact, oh, he knows what I said. I'm going to keep on going back. I'm going to keep on going back. And I'm going to keep on going back. I'm going to tell you this little story. I was about 7 or 8 years old, and it was getting near Christmas time. And if you remember it correctly, and I'm sure it applied here as well as it did in Pittsburgh, that right before Christmas, or probably somewhere around Thanksgiving, the new Christmas Sears catalog would come out. It was about this thick, right? And not only the Sears catalog, but the JCPenney's catalog. Did you have a big, thick JCPenney's catalog too? I used to love to look at those things. I'd page through those things, and when you're 7 or 8 years old, guess what page you turn to? The toys. You turn to the toys. And in this book, I don't know which one it was. Let's just say it was the Sears catalog. There was this toy. And it was a metal. They made everything out of metal back in the early 60s. Nothing was made out of plastic. It was metal. And it was about this big by like this. It was rectangular. And it was a pathway where cars could run. And you had these three wind-up cars. And you wind up these metal cars, and you put them down on these tracks, and these cars would go on these tracks. And you could control them, and you could smash them, you know, make them hit. And I just opened up that catalog, and I wanted that toy. Oh, did I want that toy. Out of every toy in the book, that's the one I wanted. And I made sure my mom knew it. If Kay was my mother, I'd have the catalog in my hand, and I'd come and do this. And I'd sit real close, and I'd open it up to the toy page, make sure she knew what it was, and kind of put my finger on it. She would know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that her son Mikey wanted that toy. No matter what time of day it was, it seemed like during that whole period of time, between the time we got the catalog and Christmas, I always went to her, sometimes vocally, sometimes verbally, sometimes kind of nonchalantly, just, yeah, here's the catalog, Mom. There's the toy. There it is. I didn't give up. And sure enough, on Christmas morning, guess what? I got it. Granted, my mom could have said, too expensive. She could have said, you don't need that. She could have said many different things. But in this particular case, I got the thing that I kept on going to my mom for, kept on going, kept on going, kept on going. If our parents give us these things, if the evil and wicked and unrighteous judge gave the widow justice, folks, what's he going to do for us if we just keep on going back and saying, this is what we need? However, our prayer is only going to be answered when it lines up with what? The will of God. The will of God. The will of God. I could say, Lord, I want a Cadillac. I want a Cadillac. I want a Cadillac. And he might say, no, I think a little Dodge Neon will just suffice for you. You don't need a Cadillac. You can have a Dodge Neon. And sometimes that's the way he answers our prayers. He will answer our prayer even though we go to him for a certain and specific thing. He always knows what's best for us. And that's how he's going to answer our prayer. But I do know this, that we need to go before the throne of God with our prayer request boldly, like the neighbor did, and keep on going and just made a fuss outside that neighbor's door and said, this is what I need because this person has arrived. And we also need to go before the throne of God persistently and without giving up. We keep on going back. We keep on going back. And folks, let me tell you, we all have been through this. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is no, and we have to understand that. Again, that's the difference between a mature Christian and an immature Christian. We understand when we ask for something and ask for something and ask for something that the answer comes back no. And I understand that. But sometimes we have not because we ask not. That's what God's Word says. We need to be bold. We need to be persistent. We need to pray always, and we never need to give up until we get an answer of some sort. Next week, we start a new exciting series on false teachers, false religions, false doctrines. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to last a long time. We're going to cover a lot of things scripturally, obviously, and a lot about different religions and things that you may not have known, and we will point them out scripturally, how some of these other religions and cults and things like that differ from Christianity, and why Christianity can only be the only true religion. So I ask you, if please be here, bring a friend. It's going to be very informative. It will probably last, well, this one lasted 6 months. I guess the next one will last 6 months too. Let's go to God in prayer.